We're going weiter. I'm just going to make it quiet there in the background. Okay. We started discussing a subject. We're going to carry on a little bit with it now. We'll try and make it more relevant to us in our situation. We started speaking about the scenario where, because of a Rosh Hashanah, you have the Noshim going out to make the Shtadlis for Panosa, not the men. This applies even when the men are going out to make these shtadlis. We'll see. There's a little dafka for the woman, but he did write this. I mean, this was given more for the Torah world, both in America and here, where you see that situation. And he wanted to speak about it. He felt quite strongly about this, that woman going out and making panasa, making shtadlis for panasa in areas that aren't lefi the tzura of a Bas Yisrael wasn't particularly advisable. Quite good. I was listening to Rav Pinchas once. He was giving a shiur to the mothers of Beis Yaakov girls in America. And he was talking about this, that you have to find snuah jobs for your daughters. You have to find ways for them to work in a way that they're not compromising their principles. And so one of the mothers asked, like, what? What options are there? He said, what's wrong with being a teacher? So the woman said, there's not enough jobs for all the girls to be teachers. So Rav Pinchas said to her, your daughter's not all the girls. I don't have to find a job for every girl in Klal Yisrael. I have to find one job for my daughter. So there's for sure one job available for a teacher. Once you've done that, you then want to become an askanit and you want to go and change the world and you want to start working on jobs and fixing up the world in Achinami, but your first priority is to take care of your daughter. So for sure there's one job available for your daughter and you only need one job for your daughter. So what are you busy worrying about? There's not enough jobs for all the girls. You don't have to find jobs for all the girls. You have to find your situation. You have to make sure that your situation is kadosh. We'll see today it's not just your daughters and it's not just you staying at home learning and your wife's going out to work. Today in the world, a lot of husbands and wives are working. This applies today across the board. In many places today, it's not so possible to survive unless both a couple are working. I'm not going to go into why that is that way today and what it is and how you have to look at that. That's another story. But chutz mi the Gedol Yisrael's horosho, that it's the girl that's going out and making the shtadlis so he can sit and learn. Stam today, there's women going out and working. And the same principles apply. Same principle as to women, to men. If the shtadlis is about being mechabed shem shemayim, and even if it's not about that, whatever the shtadlis is about, we'll see different approaches, but it can't be connected to Torah. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical that the shtadlis, which is a mitzvah, be mechabed shem shemayim. It's a mitzvah for sure. Whichever way you want to look at this. So how are you going to makam that by being connected to Torah? That doesn't make any sense. And it's not making your panosa. It's not like, ein malasot, I have to because otherwise I have panosa. The panosa has got nothing to do with the ishtadlis. So why would the Torah tell you to do a mitzvah by going against the Torah? I mean, if you can explain the logic of that to me, it's a little beseder. So that's the underlying theme that we're dealing with here. I'm on Daf Reish. Let's go a little bit further. This question of who's going to be mishtadel to make the panosa, the girls going out, whatever, this hit the table of the Gedolei Ador after the Holocaust. Now, we have no idea what the world looked like then. We don't know what was going on. We don't know what the challenge were, what the nisoinus were, what the dangers were, and what was necessary. So, but the Gedolei Ador were there, and what they did. There was an important, critical need to rebuild the Torah world. The Torah world, the whole Jewish world, but the Torah world was in shatters, was in tatters. And Gedol Yisrael, the few remnants of Gedol Yisrael that were left, needed to rebuild Klal Yisrael, needed to put Klal Yisrael back on its feet to produce Talmud Chachomim. There are people sitting and learning in Torah even after they got married. They made a decision. We can't understand the enormity of this decision. The weight of achrayus and responsibility on those gedolim is beyond comprehension. It's spine chilling. But they made that decision to send the woman out with Mesiras Nefesh to carry the oil of Panosa. The schus kviyazu, Baruch Hashem, tzamach doreinu, doa koilelim vayishivot. And in the schus of that, look what we have today. Yeah, all over the world. The Torah world is rebuilt. It's flourishing. It's bursting at the seams. Baruch Hashem. The neichach gidol oilam yishivas. Ein zukiyo mesiris ha'krov la'asol ben Torah. Kebava, ayoyim ha'inyan boru umuvan, l'kol bas beis Yaakov, shine seis rak le'ben Torah. It wasn't long ago we marrying a ben Torah wasn't such a pasuk thing. To find wives for somebody who wanted to sit and learn, lo kol kach pashut, was almost impossible. And today it's davar pashut. Today it's davar pashut. Most girls going through Beis Yaakov want to marry a ben Torah. Doesn't come with the enormous, I'm not saying the mesiris nefesh, but it doesn't come with the enormous mesiris nefesh that was. Ayom ha'inyan baru muvan l'kol beis Beis Yaakov, shinesa l'ben Torah v'isen nashim shiyotzu l'faneses baleim yotzu l'avoides ha'krevus la'olameinu. Achal bo'ere v'kale b'tipul b'yeladim o'mechir b'chanut charediot. So those that go out close to home, involved in that hashtadlis, working with children or working in stores, in Haredi-based stores, whatever, however you want to look at that. Hein zochu lekach she ha'avoide lo shinte l'ra es muson. So there was zoche that the avoider, going out and being mustadel for panosa, didn't change the mus, it didn't change their essence, didn't damage their principles. Ha'manir shelem hayetohu, mesiris nefesh l'mana Torah. What was driving them was mesiris nefesh for Torah. Since they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, Alpi Torah and Alpi Das Torah, the Torah guarded them. They had enormous siyata d'ishmaya and they maintained themselves according to Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. And they continued in the way of their mothers. Through all the generations, going out and working, but doing it in a way that was lefi the Torah and das Torah, and therefore they got enormous siyata d'ishmaya, and it didn't damage them in any way. That was then. Lo kein hayom. Things have changed. Everything's changed. We need to know how to deal with changes without changing the Torah. In other words, the Torah has to be applied to a new situation without the Torah changing. That's been the challenge of Gedolim in every situation. Is how to apply, and no one's been better at than us. The Jews have been unbelievably adaptable and adapted to changing situations without the Torah changing. The mistake people make is they come along and say the world's changed, therefore the Torah is not relevant. Chas v'chilin, we have to, no. The Torah is relevant. We have to apply Torah to new situations without changing the Torah. That's the challenge. But today that's not the situation. Today, why does a girl get married to a ben Torah? Because that's what everyone does. But love dafik be'al mesiru le Torah. Love dafik because she has any deep aspirations of being meisa nefesh with Torah. It's a social thing today. The fafim af lo nitenas harocha nechayne b'sechecha mishpacha labal haneni megiya kachov v'koy ve'itim le Torah. Ki ein ze mekubal kiyom. Today, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, maybe in America it's different, but even there it's not so poshut. Somebody who's nene magia kapov doesn't get the cover that's magia to his kovet in the Torah. He's like a second class citizen. If you're not sitting and learning full time as a mabakach, you're a second class citizen. I mean that's in many circles that's how it's looked at. It's not mukubal. Ma she mukubal ma'od hu shanoshim teitzel avod. B'kol makom or b'kol mechir. What is mukubal today is the wife has to go out and work no matter what. Doesn't matter whatever price she has to pay. Yetzim lavoid gamba makoimas havoida einu kreivim lechamama acheridit. Even if it means going out and working places that are not quite, close to our world. V'naisif lechak mutzim makoimas sheyesh beim nidnu davera. The even places where women are working today, where there could even be shalas of getting close to the naveras. Zun nisoyin achayim shel doreinu, and that's the nisoyin of this generation. It is a bit better today, by the way. He was talking back then when it really was bad. Today it is a little bit better. There are much more, there's places opened up where women can work in, it's a little bit better. Even they can work in computers, but they work from home and whatever. Or they work in special places. Kirit Sefer was very big in setting up that. Working in high tech and places like this, where the places of work are set up specifically matim for Haredi women, they can have something between their children, they can feed, it's a lot more conducive, but it's still not pashut. We haven't solved the problems. So We see, he used to cry about this often, that we see ten too many families being damaged and eaten up inside because of a bad choice of where to work. Forgetting that this place where you're going to work could actually take you out of who you really are. It could mamash damage terribly the concept of the atzilus, the beauty of what a Bas Yisrael is. We've forgotten that the Ishtadlis is the goal of the Ishtadlis is there to prepare a kli for Birkas Shamayim, to get a brocha. How do you get a brocha working in a place that's connected to the Torah? You got a broken kli, v'lo yitzliach lachin et hashefa anitein mimaroimim. V'panosu kuzu lo tochol yishreis brocha, v'panosu this doesn't bring brocha, v'bei she'panosu boi b'mokam she'yesh bo nidna d'avere lo yoichol yitzmoch tamerechom. When the panosu is coming, where the money is not kosher, where the panosu is coming from things that are not what they're supposed to be, so you can't build a Talmud Chochom on the back of that. It's a lo yitochon, it doesn't work. I can't remember who it was, one of the Gedolim said that the kids go off the derech because the parents feed their children non-kosher food. So what are you talking about? The biggest textures, where you see non-kosher food? He said, yeah, they steal the money and they buy the food, so the food's treif. Now for me, and it's not just because you're working in dodgy places or you're doing real dodgy things. There are many reasons why the money could be not kosher. Lefamim anu toyim v'sholim es atzmeinu. Im lo nishlach et beiteinu lavod mechutz lemezgeret acharit, sherehi einu oinu tomid ala tzrachim ve'einu yichoyle lesapek avoyde ha-mechaberes es balaya, im kein eich nuchal asi es b'noiseinu lebnei toira. So you'll ask the question that woman asked of Pinkers, if we won't send our daughters out of the machane, to go work in places elo matim, how's she going to be able to... through the work she's doing, there's not enough money. How's she going to be able to support her husband? And how are we going to be able to marry our daughters to a Ben Torah? How are they going to be Fanesa Beit Shel Torah? Ulam aleinu liskor she'akodesh Baruch Hu yevtiach she'lo tishkach Torah mipizaro. We're not responsible for the Torah. It's not our job. Rizk Rov used to say this often. I'm not responsible for the Torah. I'm responsible for keeping Shulchan Aruch. Hashem promised that the Torah is taken care of. Hashem says, "Lo tishkach Torah mipi zara." The Torah won't be forgotten. Don't worry about it. Hashem says, "I'm taking care of the Torah. You take care of yourself." Melav mum shima nachnu nidbak b'derech hayadut hamekorit kiritzayne shel Hashem isbarach. Therefore, it's self-understood that if a person cleaves to the authentic, genuine Torah, the Rotzon Hashem, v'nishmo le'yikav hakodesh lanu, and we take care of what's precious and holy to us, al tzniyosan shel b'nei Yisrael va'eches mekoyimam. The tzniyus of the Bnei Yisrael and the quality of where they are. But vaday she kolish baruch yidai le kol anyonim achirim she yisudu al tzad hatov v'yosev. So we know that a kolish baruch will take care of everything as best as possible, better than we could take care of it. V'yishore shchinose b'kol ma'ase yadeinu v'ri b'satz rishma baruch ba'omaleinu. So what he's talking about here is aimed at a specific subject, but I think the principle here applies everywhere. Once you understand that the ishtad is not waking the panasa, so then you want to do what Hashem wants. So then just do what Hashem tells you to do. It's a big nisoyin. I said this is not a poshik nisoyin. But certainly, unfortunately today, it breaks one's heart. One sees a situation where the koich ve'etzim yadi, in order to learn Torah, I mean, it's been done all, you know, it's all done in the name of Torah and religion. We're trampling all over the Torah. Chas v'chalil rachman al-tzlan, trampling over the Torah by sending our daughters out to do. Not sometimes we don't send them out. Sometimes they just want to go on their own. The peer pressure, the societal pressure to marry a Ben Torah, to have to support him and support him the way he wanted to be supported, the tzaddik, is a local kach pashut, and they land up doing things that were better not done. Minaroyla hadish, it's important to just emphasize here. Sheroy v'rubam shel gedolei ha'Torah mitim lo godli b'Torah b'zchut ha'kesher shekiblu mechamehem. Most gedolei Israel, Roiv Rubom, didn't become Gedol Yisrael on the back of the money they got from their father-in-laws. המציאס הוכיח שרוב הליהום שהשפיעו עליהם את כל הנויס העולם הזה וכסף רב, לא גודלו בתורה וירושמיים. It's observable that you see that most of the Elohim, most of the big geniuses and the ones that had the many pleasures and money, lots of money in this world, didn't grow in Torah and Yerushalayim. There are exceptions, but Ruben didn't. דווקא בין העניים שאומר לו יום ולילה בתוך דוחקוס להבין את תלמוד וישנים את הלכה וחוים בקור בלי הפוגה, בלי הפוגה, מהם צריך גדול לתאיר אמיתים. Who agreed to be גדול לתאיר אמיתים? The ones that lived simple lives, sometimes poor lives, struggled, battled, but they toiled yom ולילה to understand the Torah. Whether it was hot or cold, don't look, even don't go far back. Look at just the Gedolim that we encountered, the Aaron Leibs, look how he lived, the Rabbi Lashev's Atzalt, his Yotzat, soon. Just how he lived, how he just if you think about it, it's Mother Raya. They became kings, mamash princes and kings, and they lived terribly dachukdika lives. But you look at the children today. The children are happy, well functional. Beautiful homes. Baron Leib's kids, Rabbi Lashev's kids, Rabbi Chaim, they're all the families, beautiful, beautiful families. And yet, look at Michal Yudah, lived in a two-room apartment in Bnei Brak, raised the whole ganze mishpacha with love and warmth and simcha and happiness, with nothing, financially they had nothing. And yet there were those that we don't know about them today because they fell by the wayside, with the same potential to become Gedolim like that, and they didn't. They didn't because the two don't often go so well together. It's not so posh to have the means and to be very wealthy and to become a God of Israel. It's not posh. It's not impossible. There are those that do it. We see those that because they have the panos, they're able to cover time. They can sit, they learn, and they do. Baruch Hashem, we see that. But it's not so posh. Rabbi Akiva, la'achin yisoyev im rochel, bito shel kalb savua, you know the famous story, Rabbi Akiva, Mary Rochel. She was the daughter of the richest man in the world. So in Eretz Yisrael, he was very upset about the shidduch, so he cancelled the credit cards, and they had to go live in a little what's the name? What's it called? A barn. They had straw as a cushion. Hashem saw what was going on. So he sent Eliyahu Novi to them to mechazak them, to give them chizuk. They were doing unbelievable things. Eliyahu Novi nira lehem ka'adam ha'mashuk, v'dofek bedelet tzrifa. So Eliyahu got dressed up in his poor man's clothing, and he knocked on the door of the bar. He asked him, please, if you can just give me a bit of straw. His wife just had a baby, and they don't have enough straw to even put the baby on. Not to Rebbe Kiva Rochel is a tevin. And they used that as an opportunity to mechazak themselves, that you see there's even people who don't even have straw. There was Samach Bechelka. Rabbi Migdal Miller, when he was nifta, they found in his writings, he had pages and pages of things that had happened to other people that had happened to him, or the things he had that other people didn't have, and he used to go through it and Samach himself and Machazik himself every day on those things. So that's the Vortyar as well. The fact that all you have is straw, so you could be very miserable, it could be terrible. And then suddenly you realize, wait, they don't even have straw. Wow, look how lucky I am, I've got straw. Not everybody knows how to use that Rabbi Akiva properly. Rabbi Yankiv Galinsky asked on this, Typical Rabbi Yankiv Galitsky question. I have a simple question for Eliyahu Novi. You're on your way to Mechazak Rochel and Rabbi Kiva and Rochel. So how are you going to Mechazak them? asking for straw. So, wow, they'll feel, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, he doesn't have straw, so at least we've got some straw. They've got a little bit less straw now than they had before, but they're happy. Why don't you just give them money and let them go buy what they need? You could machazik them, sure, they'd be much happier with that. That's his question. Good question, no? You're going to the next door neighbor, you want to machazik him. I said, give him a check. No. You're asking for something that you know, he's got a little bit left of. You know, he's got 3 eggs left. You're asking for an egg. Ma ze machazik oto. Ana Rabbi Yankov. Al kushoysa ishim ha yunoysim im kesef, ha yutzomech mi Rabbi Kibbel o kole yoysa avrech koil mitzuyak. Yankov Galinsky said, he said, had you given them money, Rabbi Kibbel would have grown to be a very choshev avrech. Ulam lo haya tzomech mimenu atana kodesh Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have grown out of that. You would have had a good, nice, solid Talmud Chochem Avrech. Or by Rabbi Akiva, you wouldn't have had. Kedei legodl legia lemadreg gavua zu haya alev lichyot chatza. To become a Rabbi Akiva, you have to live a life like that. Chaim shel histakpuk b'miut. You have to be prepared to live with a little. Ba'ifen zehu yis'ale ve'giya lemadregis Rabbi Akiva lachem ichein hu zocha gam lo isha. He first became Rabbi Akiva, and then he merited enormous wealth. Kefisha gossip him sechtas avoyz kolam ha'kaime satoirim o'ini seifu l'kaime o'isha. We don't always see that. L'maisa could be talking about o'isha, samach b'chelko o'isha, not necessarily what we mean by o'isha, but that's what it says, that's what the Mishnah says, kolam ha'kaime satoirim o'ini, whoever keeps the Torah in poverty will eventually keep it in wealth. V'achein ha'kosh bochu shlach lo'is b'koso v'yashiro iso, v'isha koso b'irchas ha'shim hitashi. That's the vote. That doesn't mean you have to go now and give away all your food and give away all your clothing, give up your house and put a little tent and start living in the streets because you want to come up on the chochem. No, that's not what it means. It means, but if that's the matzah you're in, that's what you have, you have to become a talmud chochem and be the best person you can be no matter what your situation. But there's no question that we've seen that those people that are able to live without a lot, or even if they have a lot, but they're able to live without a lot, that's the vote. You don't need that. You have it, you enjoy it, you use it, you have Koros HaTov, you know how to use it properly. But if you need it and it gets taken away, it gets lost, those are the people, unfortunately, that don't handle Nisoinus very well. The Hishtadlus is only a preparing a vessel for the Broch of Hashem to come in. We mechazek abetochen in the creator of the universe. Azanu mafanes hakol, he is nurturing, nourishing, feeding, and mafanesing everything. Naikli gabel anesoyne la'adi festish luisa efshiriot. Ha'efshirit, hamuteres varois, mibri legeli ishtadlus sheyesh bo nidud aveira. Then a person can make ishtadlus that's matim for him. Perhaps all of others goes through all the requirements, how you know what's matim for you. If you're a genius and you've got a very weak body, don't go get a job working on the roads. If you're a dumbbell but you're very strong, so then go work on the loading docks or whatever. You've got to find a panasa that's matin for you, something that you enjoy doing, and also something that's kosher. Shailo b'hachonos akelim b'vado sukim anu v'ili kamut hashefa b'chos anatinim hem b'day shemayim. How much is going to come? That comes from Hashem. All you have to do is make yourself roi. Okay, that's the end of the chapter on Ishtadlus. He's just touched the subject here. He hasn't even mamish gone into it. He's given 2 big yesodos here that we're going to take further and apply. The next parak will deal with the tefillah of the boteach, and that's also, just tefillah itself is a massive subject, and he's going to touch it. But I want to deal with this first. We haven't finished the subject of Ishtadlus here. Mitzvah on Yom Rishon, I want to deal with Rav Dessler's approach to this. Try and build this a little bit, because they're not speak. But what he has given us, and what we need to remember, is the following. Ishtadlus is not making the panasa. Ishtadlus is a mitzvah lifnei atzmo. What it means that Ishtadlus is preparing the kli for the brocha, we'll have to see. That's a local kach muvan, because then it means your Ishtadlus is doing something. If you don't make enough Ishtadlus or proper Ishtadlus, you're not going to have a kli to get the brocha, then you won't get the panasa. Since it's connected. But you just said it doesn't do anything. So I don't know what it means that it does nothing, but it's making the kli. To try and understand what that's about. That's a bit of a problem. But we know for sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, if he wants me to be alive, he'll give me what I need to be alive. There'll be air and water and food and whatever else a person needs to be alive. May not be what I want, but it's what I need. And the yishtadlis is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmoi. Why do we have to make yishtadlis? So he said one of them is to be mekadesh shem shemayim. It's when you're out there working and making panosa, you have unbelievable opportunities to be mekadesh shem shemayim berabim. The Chayes HaLevavos brings a couple of other reasons. The one is, he says, is if a person doesn't have something to do, the person's not going to use his time properly, he's going to get involved in all sorts of non-good things. You know, we say the devil has lots of work for empty hands. How does it go? The Satan will find plenty of things for a person to do if he's not busy. So since a person, if he doesn't have what to do, he's going to get into all sorts of trouble. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to make yishtadlus and be toiling in Panosa. If a person will use his free time correctly, and he'll use it for avodas HaKadosh, so then he doesn't have to make yishtadlus in other areas. The other reason the Chovetz Chaim says, well, Hashem gives us yishtadlus, he wants to test us that we'll do kosher yishtadlus like we saw. It's an isoin. You have to grapple with it. How when you're in work, you have to grapple with how much you do, what are you doing, when to do it, what to do. Like we saw his mother and father, the Nisoyin on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. That's why you have to make yishtadlus, because Hashem wants to see if you're going to be an honest, straight Jew. And also, says the Chovetz Chaim Lvovos, once you've been tested and Hashem sees that that's who you are, so then the oil of panasa, he will take off. The oil of yishtadlus, he will take off. And a person doesn't have to make any yishtadlus. We'll see. There's other yishtadlus a person can make. Like we said, if a person is being makadosh Shem Shemayim through his avodas HaKodesh, yishtadlus doesn't mean you have to go to work. That's the obvious one. I mean, that's how Hashem set up the world. He wants the world to run normally, and therefore to make yishtadlus for panasa, you'll go make panasa. For yishtadlus for health, you'll go make health. You're not going to go to the doctor because you need panasa, and go to the bank manager because you need refuah. Because the truth is, you could do that, lemaisa, according to the theory, because it makes no difference, because it's not coming from them. No, Hashem wants you to go to a doctor when you're sick. He wants you to go to the bank manager. He doesn't want you to trust on any of them. The betochen and the idea that I'm getting what I'm getting is coming from Hashem, that doesn't go away. But the yishtadlus has to look like yishtadlus. The big question, which I'm not going to deal with now, and this is the real practical question, we've discussed this, I'm sure most of you have heard this before. If not, yeah, then I spoke about this in quite a few breakfast sharing. We had a series, I think it was 3 sharing I gave on this. Because Hashem will deal with that on Sunday, is how much yishtadlus do you have to make? What's the shear? What is the shear of yishtadlus? I have so many hours a day. I need to sleep. I need to take care of my family. I need to work. I need to learn. I need to daven. How much time do I have to spend on yishtadlus? How much yishtadlus do I have to make? That's really the big question. That's the big question everyone's bothered about. When we finish with all the philosophy and with all the discussions and whatever, at the end of the day, everybody wants to know, how much do I have to work? How much yishtadlus do I have to make? The question is the same in Shidduchim. It's the same in Refuah. I'm going to deal with panosa essentially, because that's really where the ik avoider in this area is. But you'll see, you'll be able to apply those principles as well to the other areas of your life once you understand the principles. That's what Gvaldi Bar of Desla. But definitely, Rav Desla gives you principles. Once you have first principles, you're going to apply those principles anywhere. So Mitzvah Shem on Sunday, I want to look at that. And that obviously will raise difficulties and questions, and we'll take that further. We'll see. And when we're done with that, we'll never be done with it. It's an ongoing nisoyin, yishtadlus panos. It's an ongoing struggle, and I'm going to make it a real personal struggle for you, Metz Hashem, on Sunday. And Metz Hashem, then we'll look at a more difficult subject, which is the subject of tefillah and betochen, how those two go together. Zigam bichlal or poshut. So that's it. Ad kan. Have a good Shabbos. And Mitzvah Shem will be together next week.
Amen. Thank you, Rav Shah.
Good. Thanks,
Rav.
Rabbi Ephraim, I don't see his year now. I'll do it, or I'll get somebody to WhatsApp to you. The last one didn't come out. Yesterday's was a disaster.
Okay.
The middle of the recording, the one before that, somebody's keeping them. I'll ask him to please either send me the link, and I'll send you the link, or I'll get him to send the link directly to you. Probably he'll send it to me, and I'll send it to you. I'm just trying to think. They should still be up. Yeah, they're up in Zoom for 10 days, so there you have access to them. Otherwise, he's got them recorded, and he'll just send me the files, and you can listen to them yourselves. Whatever, however it is, I'll take care of that.
if the Rav has, you know, so many other things to do, maybe you could just connect me with him and I could take it from there.
No, it's fine. I've got time on my hands. I'm not that busy. No, I send it to him every morning. So when I send it to him, I'll just send him a message to forward me the links from the last two.
Okay. Is it an option, switching gears, is it an option for the Chavos HaLevavos Shir to happen maybe twice a week or more often?
Good question. Sure. Let me just think. We're doing it on Monday night. Sunday's hard for me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, local Kach Pashut. Thursday, also have another Shia. I have to make it's certainly possible. In principle, it's definitely possible. I have to make a decision what we're going to be doing after Tisha B'Av. It's crawling on very quickly. Tisha B'Av, whether we're going to call this Bein HaZmanim, not call it Bein HaZmanim. I personally more noite to keep going through Bein HaZmanim. I'm not sure how my life's not going to change that much with Bein HaZmanim. I've been on Bein HaZmanim since Purim, basically. It's not like maybe days where I have to go out, whatever, with the kids, something that I won't be able to. But in principle, I haven't made a decision yet, but I'm certainly leaning toward keeping going. If the Olam's Bichlal interested, you know, looking at who comes, I don't see that it's going to make much difference to people's lives. Bein HaZmanim, not Bein HaZmanim, certainly not with what's going on at the moment in this country.
Yeah.
But guys are going to have the kids at home and the wives are going to need a break and you may not be able to, I don't know. So if we're not going to be going through Bein HaZmanim or whatever, I mean, we could do some of it and not of it. We may stop this year and only do the Chovos HaLevavos Shir. But in principle, it's possible. I just have to think when to do it, because Sunday and a Thursday night, I have a Shia that I go to, so that's from 9 to 10. So I could do it before that or after that if there's a demand.
Yeah,
on a Sunday or a Thursday night. I have basically Monday and Tuesday night that's free at that time at the 9 o'clock slot. Wednesday, I could do Wednesday as well. Wednesday is also quite possible.
Mm-hmm.
We could. You know what? On Monday, when we have the Shia, bring it up and let's ask the Olam what they want to do. There might just be an Olam that doesn't want to do it twice a week and we'll carry on doing the once a week Shia, and then maybe I'll do something else with another group. So there's not a stereo. Understand what I'm saying? It means that the Monday night Shia will be an independent Shia, and then on the Wednesday night or whatever, we'll do something else in the Chovos HaLevavos that either complements it or we'll maybe go a bit deeper, but it won't interfere. The guys who are not coming that won't miss out on the Monday Shia. It'll be two independent Shia. Sure. There may be something we might have to do. Let's see. Monday night, remind me on Bezrat Hashem. You'll remind me when we're in the Shia. There's about 10, 12 guys. Let's them ask them what they want.
All right,
we'll see what the feedback is, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll do Shara Bechina on a Wednesday night, which is Ma'od Ma'od Geshmak and complements in a big, big way Shara Betochen. In fact, it's easier to get to Betochen with Shara Bechina than Shara Betochen. So maybe we'll do that then if the guys don't want to do Shara Betochen twice. Let's see. Okay.
All right, thank you.
I'm available, and the more Torah that's getting learned and the more we're learning, the better it is. So I'm very game to do that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Beseder, thank you.
Have a great Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. Take good care.
You too.